Anyone who's ever set their heart and their life to follow Jesus will know that feeling when an opportunity presents itself and you're sitting there wondering, is this opportunity from God or not? Is this an appointment or a disappointment? Well, let me share one way to help find the answer. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me as today we take another look at those God-given opportunities from a different perspective. Life is this crazy mixture of appointments and disappointments. God has this funny way of setting up appointments for us, appointments that are part of his plan. The word anointing in the Bible means literally an appointment from God. God appoints you to do a certain thing. He anoints you with his spirit so you can do that thing. Other times we see an opportunity to get ahead or to do something that apparently on the surface seems pretty good. But a little way into it, we come to realize that this appointment is, well, really a disappointment. It wasn't from God after all. Have you ever felt that sense of regret after you've taken an opportunity and it hasn't worked out and you've realized it wasn't from God to start with? Not that every God-given opportunity turns out to be successful from a worldly perspective. Sometimes God puts opportunities in front of us for us to learn through our mistakes. But some opportunities are God-given and others are not. It's just the way it is. And anybody who set their heart to follow Jesus with their lives has been in that place of wondering, is this one from God or not? Should I step into it or not? Should I marry this person or not? Should I take this job promotion or not? Should I move to this suburb or this town or this village or not? Should I? You know the story. Quite a few years ago now, I was involved in an IT consulting firm that we started way back in the late 1980s. Graham, Mark and I were the partners who owned the business. It had grown internationally and was a pretty successful and profitable outfit, to the point where a publicly listed company sought us out and purchased the business from us on the condition that we stayed on for at least 3 years to manage the transition. At the end of 3 years, Graham, who was the CEO, decided it was time for him to retire. Well, I can tell you, I was the heir apparent. Everybody expected me to step up and to take the reins of this business and drive it forward. But I had this deep unease about it. I thought long and prayed hard, and finally God showed me why I was uneasy. There are many things that I enjoy doing, but managing people, managing detail, they're not amongst what I like doing. I can lead, but I'm not a manager. There's a difference. I came to the conclusion that my gifts and talents weren't a good fit to the opportunity of stepping up into the CEO's role, and so much to many people's surprise, I declined the appointment. Looking back on that decision, it's one of the best ones I've ever made. And it's this match between what we're naturally good at, our natural gifts and talents, and the nature of the opportunity that is one of the best ways to determine whether an opportunity is from God or not. When we last left young Joseph, son of Jacob in the Old Testament, he'd just been handed an opportunity by Pharaoh to become the overseer of the whole of Egypt, and in particular, the overseer of the God-given plan to store away surplus food during the years of plenty so that Egypt would be ready for the years of famine that lay ahead. Let's take a look at what happened. Genesis chapter 41, verses 44 to 57. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And he gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, as his wife. Thus Joseph gained authority over the land of Egypt. Joseph was just 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the 7 plenteous years, the earth produced abundantly. He gathered up all the food of 7 years when there was plenty in the land of Egypt and stored up food in the cities. He stored up in every city the food from the fields around it. So Joseph stored up grain in such abundance, like the sand of the sea, that he stopped measuring it. It was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, Joseph had 2 sons whom Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, bore him. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh. "For," he said, "God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house." The second he named Ephraim, "For God has made me fruitful in the land of my misfortunes." The 7 years of plenty that prevailed in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in every country, but throughout the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. What he says to you, do." And since the famine had spread all over the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the world came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine became severe throughout the whole world. Now, okay, Joseph was given the power to make it all happen. But you'd have to be a pretty good manager to bring this grand scheme together, wouldn't you? I mean, it turns out that that was exactly what Joseph was good at. Back as a slave in Potiphar's house, what happened? Potiphar saw how good a manager Joseph was, so he put him in charge of all his affairs. And in prison, the head jailer saw what an effective manager Joseph was, so he put him in charge of the prison. See, that was Joseph's gifting, his natural talent and ability. And this opportunity that Pharaoh gave him was a perfect fit with who God made him to be. It's a pattern that repeated itself through the hard times as a slave, as a prisoner, and now, during the good times, as the ruler of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. See, God's plans, God's opportunities that he sets before us invariably have this strong fit with who he made us to be. It kind of makes sense when you think about it. And testing opportunities against our natural abilities is one of the best ways I've ever discovered to figure out whether this opportunity is going to turn out to be an appointment or a disappointment, whether this opportunity is one from God or not one from God. The Bible tells us that we should test all things so that we can grab a hold of that which is good and keep away from that which isn't. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 20. Not everything that glitters is made of gold. There are plenty of imposters that come along pretending to be good, pretending to be God-given appointments, when all along they're nothing but disappointments. Even Satan, we're told, disguises himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. One of the reasons that we end up missing out on God's opportunities is because we just choose the wrong ones. The devil doesn't want you living out the life God planned for you. The devil does not want you impacting this world through your God-given gifts. And one of the great tactics of the enemy is to deceive. That's why it's so important for us to learn how to discern those opportunities that are God-given and those that aren't. If God is truly God, if he really knows what he's doing, then surely he's going to make us to be a good fit with the things he calls us to do. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus in order to do the good works that he prepared beforehand for us to walk into. You and I need to know the things we're good at and the things we're not good at. Invariably, the things we're good at are the things that we enjoy doing. They're the things we get excited about and animated about. And that excitement, that animation, is a really good pointer for what we're good at. And what we're good at is a good pointer towards the things that God's made us to do and the things that God's calling us to do. So the next time an opportunity comes your way, ask yourself, am I a good fit with this opportunity or not? Before I go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would love to pray for you. Listen, the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others and leave them an encouraging word as well. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So let us pray for you and with you. And let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.